5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
This is About Space, America's Return to Space, with news and information on our U.S. space program.
From our About Space Today World Headquarters, I'm John Gomez. This week in space, visiting the asteroid Apophis, the Pentagon declassifies space warfare training, and the launch of Boeing Starliner is a go. This and more next, as America and the world is listening to About Space Today.
D&D Cruise and Tours is the official agent for About Space, and we invite you to come fly away to all-inclusive resort island destinations, or a cruise vacation from Port Canaveral, and even visit the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex, or just come and see the parks. Call for a discount cruise or an island getaway or the Florida beaches. Call today. The call is free, and so are our services. Call 877-747-8631. That's 877-747-8631. We are Florida's group travel specialists.
Welcome back. The asteroid Apophis will pass close to Earth on April 13, 2029, a flyby that scientists say happens only once every 1,000 years for an asteroid of that size. Now, there's a zero chance Apophis will hit Earth, but it will be close enough to study, and that's where NASA comes in. They have agreed to send their OSIRIS-REx asteroid sample return craft, now known as OSIRIS-APEX, to Apophis shortly after its flyby in 2029. Companies like Blue Origin, SpaceX, and even new startups have proposed concepts for missions to the android. Blue Origin has proposed to use its Blue Ring spacecraft to send payloads to Apophis. It can carry different payloads, including deployable spacecraft. The plan would be to launch in October of 2027 and land on the asteroid in January of 2029 before its closest approach and to remain there through its flyby. Another concept presented at the workshop provides new life to a proposal previously studied by the Jet Propulsion Laboratory called the Distributed Radar Observations of Interior Distributions, or DROID for short. That would send spacecraft to rendezvous with Apophis and deploy two CubeSats to perform a CAT scan of the asteroid's interior. The mission would use the company's Space Exploration and Resource Vehicle, or SERV, spacecraft that the company is developing. Stay tuned to About Space Today as we keep you up to date on the planned missions to Apophis. In other news, recently the Pentagon partially declassified some of its space electronic warfare technologies and exercises. This was seen as a critical move for enhancing collaboration with allied forces. Colonel Christopher Feringel, director of the Commander's Action Group at U.S. Space Command, credited the Defense Department's Space Policy Office for leading the declassification efforts.
Yeah, what we're seeing at the Pentagon staff level is the work that Dr. Plum and his team is doing on OSD space policy staff to direct changes to declassify where it makes sense as far as a conceal and reveal strategy. I also saw that personally in the 2016 timeframe when I took command of the 4th Space Control Squadron, now the 4th Electromagnetic Warfare Squadron. When I took over, everything was behind the green door at the top secret special access program level. And even in my short duration as commander over those 2 years, we saw much of the capability go from that top secret SAP level down to the collateral level, whether that be secret, top secret. That also enabled us to share more. As far as partnership with coalition partners that have similar type capabilities or want to partner in the joint fires.
It is because of this declassification that a recent electronic communications and data sharing exercise, codenamed Heavy Rain, was conducted between the U.S. Air Force, United Kingdom, Australia, and France at Ramstein Air Base in Germany. Space electronic warfare involves manipulating the electromagnetic spectrum, crucial for communication, navigation, and sensor data in space. It encompasses offensive actions like jamming or spoofing to hinder adversaries, alongside defensive measures to protect friendly space assets. Exercises often involve an aggressor squadron, simulating enemy attempts to disrupt U.S. space systems electronically. Finally this week, after years of delays, Boeing's Starliner spacecraft is ready for launch. Veteran astronauts Sonny Williams and Butch Wilmore will make the historic trip to the International Space Station on May 6th at about 10:43 p.m. Eastern Time. There have been a number of questions surrounding the safety of the space capsule given the number of setbacks over the last couple of years. The astronauts addressed those concerns shortly after landing at the Kennedy Space Center on April 26th.
Why do we think it's as safe as possible? We wouldn't be standing here if we didn't. We are ready. The spacecraft's ready.
Yeah, I just want to add to that. I have all the confidence in, you know, not only our capabilities, the spacecraft capabilities, but also our mission control team who's ready for the challenge, and they're up for it, and they're getting ready back in Houston.
If successful, Starliner will join SpaceX's Crew Dragon spacecraft in making routine trips to the space station, keeping the orbiting outpost fully staffed with astronauts from NASA and its partner space agencies. About Space Today will be at the Kennedy Space Center covering the launch of Starliner. Be sure to tune in as our live coverage begins May 6th at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Make sure you check out our Facebook page, aboutspace.today, for launches and landings, and invite your family and friends to listen weekly. You can find us on your favorite podcast platforms like Apple, Spotify, Libsyn, and more. Be sure to join David Denault twice a month for Special Report and Don Meyer every Friday for America in Space. Whether you're listening on the International Space Station or just on your phone, thanks for joining me. I'm John Gomez, and you just learned a little bit about space today.